Sì, immagino a parte un cielo. Voi è la metà sole e torna al superiore senso. E ti capita che lo scorona al stellare un dolce. A great sign appeared in the heavens. A woman surrounded by the sun with the moon under her feet and crowned with a crown of 12 stars. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 75 years ago, on the 1st of November, 1950, Pope Pius XII of blessed memory solemnly declared and defined the dogma of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into heaven. In the square in front of the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome, in the presence of 38 cardinals, 600 bishops, and 600,000 Catholic faithful. At 8:30 in the morning, to the sound of the chant of the Litany of the Saints, the long procession of clergy stopped at a flight of steps leading into the Basilica. The Holy Father, carried in his sacred gestatorium, came to the forecourt and took his place on the papal throne. Then the Dean of the College of Cardinals formally asked him, in the name of the famous of the Sacred College, all the bishops and the Catholic faithful, to define and declare the dogma of the Assumption of Our Lady, body and soul, into heaven at the end of her earthly life. The Holy Father accepted, hands down, sang the Veni Creator Spiritus, asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, and then said the following. We rejoice greatly that this solemn event falls according to the design of God's providence during this holy year, so that we are able, while the great Jubilee is being observed, to adorn the brow of God's Virgin Mother with this brilliant gem, and to leave a monument more enduring than bronze of our own most fervent love for the Mother of God. For which reason, after we have poured forth prayers of supplication again and again to God, and have invoked the light of the Spirit of Truth for the glory of Almighty God, who has lavished his special affection upon the Virgin Mary, for the honor of his Son, the immortal King of the ages, and the victor over sin and death, for the increase of the glory of that same august Mother, and for the joy and exaltation of the entire Church, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed Apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma, that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Dear faithful, even though my nieces here present would say that I must have been there at St. Peter's on that day to be able to describe this great event, which took place 75 years ago, and I was not, the Catholic Church did not start believing in the Assumption of Our Lady on that day. If you were present for the first Saturday mornings of recollection this past year, you would remember that the earliest Christians understood that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was known to be the dwelling place of God on earth. Since Our Lady is the Ark of the New Covenant, there is no doubt about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If King David could bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple that he built for God, then Jesus Christ, the new David, could certainly bring the Ark of the New Covenant, Our Lady, into heaven. These most ancient of beliefs of the earliest Christians were taken from the Jewish religion of the Old Testament, seen to be completed in Jesus Christ. In his encyclical Unificentissimus Deus, Pope Pius XII reminds us of these beliefs of of the Church, through the writings of the Fathers and of the Saints. He had a new Mass written for this feast, which places a strong emphasis on the connection of this privilege of the Assumption of Our Lady with that of her Immaculate Conception. From her conception, she was free of all sin. All through her life, she was full of the grace of the divine maternity, and she only grew in virtue and perfection. Therefore, it is normal that she would not have to suffer the consequences of death. St. Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. There are two parts to death: the separation of the body and the soul, and the corruption of the body. Our Mother Mary, being without sin in her soul, was spared the corruption of the body after her death, and was assumed directly to heaven, body and soul. The Assumption of Our Lady to heaven is a natural consequence of her Immaculate Conception. She is the new Eve, the one born free of sin, full of grace, and who died in the same state, never having known sin. She is the first of the human race to be so, the first of the new creation. The calling of today's Mass connects her Immaculate Conception to her Assumption. Almighty and ever eternal God, who assumed into heaven the Immaculate Virgin Mary, grant and receive thee that by thinking of heavenly things, we may merit to be sharers of her glory. The Holy Father then goes on to cite various saints who also lent their voices in support of this dogma. Let us consider two among them. The first is our own St. Anthony of Padua. By a single decree of Providence, he was born on August 15 in 1195. In his sermons on the Assumption, proclaimed back in the 13th century, he confirmed the doctrine of the Assumption using sacred scripture. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, "I will glorify the place of thy feet," chapter 60, verse 13. St. Anthony explained it as certain that the Divine Redeemer had bedecked in supreme glory his most beloved mother, from whom he had received human flesh. He asserts that you have here a clear statement that the Blessed Virgin has been assumed in her body, which was the place of the Lord's feet. Again, taking another verse from the Psalms, "Arise, O Lord, into your resting place, thou and the ark which thou hast sanctified." Psalm 131, verse 8. Our patron asserts that just as Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, over which he triumphed, and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, so likewise the ark of his sanctification has risen up, since on this day the Virgin Mother has been taken up to her heavenly dwelling. Similarly, St. Francis de Sales states that the Son, who on coming into this world received his body and his flesh from his mother, would not allow his mother to remain here below, neither in the body nor in the soul. But shortly after she had paid the universal penalty of death, he took her to himself, into the kingdom of his holy parents. It is to this that the Church bears witness, calling this feast the Assumption, based on the same tradition by which she is assured of Mary's death and resurrection. After asserting that it is wrong to doubt that Jesus Christ has himself observed, in the most perfect way, the divine commandment by which children are ordered to honor their parents, St. Francis asks this question: what son would not bring his mother back to life and would not bring her into paradise after her death if he could? Our Lady's Assumption is a result of her being immaculate all her life, from the womb of St. Anne all the way to the end of her time on earth. The first requirement for attaining God is this total purity, the fruit of total peace. attention. She teaches us not to be captivated by the fascination of created things, but to live among them without becoming attached to them. Secondly, it is not enough to purify our heart from sin and all attachment to creatures. We must, at the same time, direct it towards God and tending towards Him with all our strength. This flight to God is what gives value to our earthly life. The Assumption of Our Lady is a reminder to us that we too are called to an intimate union with God. It is in times like the present that we must stop to look out for Him. It is in the middle of the storms of our lives that we can more worthily honor. Being the first among the disciples of our Lord, the one most closely united to Him, more closely in fact than all the saints put together, she can be our only hope in these difficult moments, and without fail she will lead us ever closer to our Lord. As our Lord honored her for her entire life, let us learn from Him and honor her in our own. The spiritual writers have said that what drew God to choosing her for His mother was her humility. He has regarded the lowliness of His handiwork. For this reason, chosen to be the mother of God, Our Lady could say when she visited St. Elizabeth, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." 75 years ago, when Pope Pius XII defined the dogma of Mary's bodily assumption into heaven, he declared that she had been exalted by our Lord as queen over all things, so that she might be the more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords. She is the first of all creatures in sanctity and beauty, free from sin at the beginning of her life. All through her life she grew in merit and died free from sin. As children of such a mother, let us imitate her to the extent we are capable in her devotion, her meekness, her simplicity, her modesty, and her sweetness. Copy her faith, her patience, her obedience, her meditative spirit, her fortitude, and her self-surrender to the will of God. Let us imitate her purity. Without her help in this domain, it is impossible to advance to heaven in this oppressive world. Think of her often. Meditate on her life. She will calm our fires of concupiscence. Help us to guard our senses. Teach us patience and perseverance. She is our comfort in our discouragements, our tiredness, our help to rise again after our falls, our reward for our successes. She will help us stay on the way of truth. Our Catholic religion has the gift of making the young heart chaste, because it gives us Jesus Christ for our food and Mary for our blessed mother. It is with her help that we can prove this in our lives and show the world that the religion that we follow is not a false one. In the very face of the world, we can vindicate the glory of our Mother Mary by the simplicity of our deportment and the sanctity of our words and deeds. She can give us the royal heart of innocence. She is a beautiful gift of God to us. Sharing in the power of the Almighty God, she is stronger than an army in battle array. No one who sought her in sincerity has been disappointed. She is therefore the great sign in this oppressive world. Placing her before us and imitating her in everything, we are sure to reach our heavenly goal. The Feast of the Assumption is a strong appeal to us to live ever intent upon heavenly things, and not to allow ourselves to be carried away by the vicissitudes and seductions of the world. Not only was our soul created for heaven, but also our body, which will be welcomed into our heavenly home and admitted to a participation in the glory of the Spirit after the resurrection. That which has been fully realized in Our Lady will be realized for us as well as for all the saints, only at the end of time. This feast is a reminder to us to ennoble our whole life, not only that of the Spirit, but also that of the senses, elevating it to the heights of the celestial life which awaits us. Today we have among us Saint Harrison, who will be receiving our Lord in body, blood, soul and divinity for the first time. It is a great act that will have a deep and profound influence on her future. The life of her soul in this world and the next depends on this precious moment. We too can remember our first communions. And now, with the space of years of experience, we too can understand her happy and pious thoughts. Let us keep her in our prayers that this august sacrament will help her raise her heart, mind, and soul to heavenly things, imitate Our Lady in all her virtues, and thereby grow ever closer to her to join her in heaven in the next life. Dignare laudare te, Virgo Maria, dami qui virtutem contra vostres tuos. Deign to let me praise thee, O Virgin Mary, give me strength against thy enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.